This is a paid commercial program. Unless otherwise identified, the guests on the program are employees of the advertiser. The opinions expressed are those of the advertiser and do not necessarily reflect the views and policies of CKNW.
I'm Martin Strong. Welcome back. Here's the consumer news from the past week. This past Tuesday was the deadline for most people to file their 2023 income tax return. And it sounds like Canada Revenue is trying to put on a kinder, gentler face. A spokesperson for CRA said this week that they are aware many Canadians with tax bills are struggling and says CRA will work with them to set up a payment plan. The spokesperson says if you owe money and you can't pay, you should call the CRA right away to figure out your options. Ignoring the debt, definitely not an option and can trigger some big penalties and even legal action. If you owe money, the late filing penalty is 5% of your 2023 balance owing, plus an additional 1% for each full month after that, up to 12 months. That's according to the CRA website. It was a bad week for London Drugs. What is being called a cybersecurity incident last Sunday meant that they had to shut down all the London Drug stores in Western Canada for the entire week. One cybersecurity expert says it definitely sounds like some kind of ransomware attack. The store chain says they spent the week rebuilding their data infrastructure with the help of some third-party computer experts to bring its operations safely back online. London Drugs is based in Richmond. They actually have more than 80 stores right across BC, Alberta, Saskatchewan, and Manitoba. The big question, of course, is did the hackers get into any personal data of customers? London Drugs says they don't believe that has happened. And as forecasters in the States predict that the United States Federal Reserve is not planning to lower interest rates anytime soon, what does that mean for Canada and our interest rates? Bank of Canada Governor Tiff Macklem says Canadian interest rates don't have to match the U.S. rates exactly, but they do need to stay within the same ballpark. There is a lot of speculation that the Bank of Canada is getting set to start lowering the interest rates in the next few months. This stat surprised me. Canada imported more electricity from the U.S. than it exported for the first time in 8 years. Statistics Canada says the country imported 2.7 million megawatt hours of electricity from the U.S. of A. in February. We exported 2.6. The agency says imports were 124.1% higher than average for the month, while exports were 44.8% below the average levels. And StatsCan says drought throughout much of Canada led to a significant drop in hydroelectric power generated in February compared to last year. Canada has become the first country to put warning messages on cigarettes, not just cigarette packages, but the actual cigarettes themselves. There are 6 health warnings printed directly on cigarettes with such cheery slogans as poison in every puff and tobacco smoke harms children. More than 1 million people in Canada have died from tobacco-related illness, including cancer, heart disease, and emphysema since 2000. And they were talking about the rise in auto thefts across the country in Ottawa this week. And at a House of Commons national security meeting looking into the problem, the president of the Halifax Port Authority told them that scanning more shipping containers looking for stolen cars is not going to do all that much. Port President Alan Gray was skeptical about the plan by Ontario Premier Doug Ford, calling for cargo scanners to be used more frequently at the ports. But Gray says even if they identify a shipping container that has a car in it, it doesn't necessarily mean that car is stolen or if the shipping paperwork is fake. And there was a funeral held yesterday in St. John's, Newfoundland for legendary sportscaster Bob Cole, who passed away in his beloved hometown just over a week ago at the age of 90. Cole is best known for his play-by-play work on Hockey Night in Canada, where he was loved for his wit, passion, and of course, his signature, oh, baby. His daughter, Megan Cole, says he never once considered moving away from Newfoundland and Labrador, even though he was being heard right across the country. He was a national celebrity, but he didn't want to leave the Maritimes. This is the Vancouver Consumer. I'm Martin Strong, and coming up, the CKNW Kids Fund. They've got a big, big thing coming up, the Mega 50-50 draw, and a bunch of other things, and how you can get involved in that and Backpack Buddies. I'll tell you about that. That's just a beautiful thing for kids. That's all when Vancouver Consumer continues right after this.
This is a paid commercial program. Unless otherwise identified, the guests on the program are employees of the advertiser. The opinions expressed are those of the advertiser and do not necessarily reflect the views and policies of CKNW.
Welcome back. I'm Martin Strong. It's Vancouver Consumer, and it's one of my favorite topics to talk about, the CKNW Kids Fund. And with me right now are two people who just keep that motor running, who keep the machine of the CKNW Kids Fund running, the Executive Director, Sarah Dubois Phillips, and the Fund Development Manager of the Kids Fund, Caitlin Potter. Hi, Sarah. Hi, Caitlin. Sarah, I'll go to you first. Hi.
How are you?
I'm good. And Caitlin, let's hear your voice. Say hi.
Hi, everybody.
All right. Well, it's kind of a busy time of year for the Kids Fund. Things are kind of heating up. And the first thing we should mention is the Mega 50-50 draw. If people go to the CKNWKidsFund.com, they can buy a ticket for this Mega 50-50 draw. And Sarah, why is it so important? What's going on? Where is this money going to?
Well, why it's so important, I mean, I think that everybody knows that the Kids Fund, all of our listeners, what, you know, we support families with kids with special needs. But two of the programs that we run in the spring and summer are a picnic at Playland for 3,500 kids with challenges who are able to enjoy an amazing day at Playland themselves, as well as summer camps. So kids with a multitude, as I say, of different sort of challenges, they are able to really enjoy a camp that is tailored for their needs. And so, you know, we've decided that the 50-50, it's spring, it's a different initiative that we're trying. This is our second year, and it gives you an opportunity to support us and also perhaps win a big jackpot. Right now we're over $40,000. So, you know, you have the potential right now of winning $20,000, and we're hoping to get to the six-figure mark at the end of next week. So we're hoping people will buy and support us.
Yeah, so people can go to CKNWKidsFund.com to buy a ticket or a few tickets or an arm's length of tickets. That's the way we used to buy them in the old hockey days. So Caitlin, let's talk about some of those things, like the picnic at Playland. That is a really amazing event. Tell us more about what goes on at the picnic at Playland.
Yeah, so I started with the Kids Fund last spring and got to experience my first picnic at Playland last June, and it's the most awe-inspiring day. Like Sarah mentioned, 3,500 kids from all across the Lower Mainland come to Playland, and we have the entire park for them. We're able to keep the lines shorter so that nobody gets too overwhelmed. We have lots of kid-friendly activities. Tons of the local sports teams bring their mascots out, and it's just a really fun, lighthearted day for everybody. It's all smiles, and it's a great time.
Mm-hmm. And Sarah, what are your thoughts? Like, why is it important that a child gets the opportunity, a child who's suffering from all these different kinds of conditions, can go to Playland? Why is it so important for them?
Well, you know, I've had the great privilege of speaking to a few of these amazing children, and it's because they get to feel, and I hate using this word, but normal. They say that we just feel so normal because they would never be able to go to Playland on their own, right? They're either in wheelchairs or they, you know, they have a form of autism where they get overwhelmed by crowds or whatever. So they're able to really do childlike things that we all sort of take for granted and just have a sense of freedom, and it just gives them a sense of independence and something that, as I say, that they've never been able to do. And it really is unbelievable. It's an unbelievable day, and there are so many corporate sponsors and our community sponsors that make it happen. It's just, it really is so special.
Mm-hmm. And you mentioned corporate sponsors, and that's something that you guys do so well at the CKNW Kids Fund. You partner, for example, the Mega 50-50 draw is involved with Backpack Buddies and Sea Lovers Fish and Chips. I should mention that. But Caitlin, when you think about raising money for these kind of endeavors, is it a tough time these days? I mean, it seems like post-COVID, the world is changing. What are the challenges like these days for the Kids Fund?
Yeah, I think we've been really fortunate. We have wonderful donors who have supported us for so long. And as Sarah mentioned, corporate partners who stand by us and align with, or their vision aligns with ours. So that's been really wonderful.
The Lori Ricks Family Foundation is our presenting sponsor for the picnic at Playland. And they have given us a 5-year sponsorship. So we are able to do this for 5 years and really be able to do it well. And I think your question is great in that, you know, obviously with what's going on with COVID and with inflation, you know, being a fundraiser has been really tough. But because I think we have such a history with our listeners, we have such a history within our community that people are still giving to us. It might be like a smaller amount, but we have not found that our support has diminished. In fact, I've been overwhelmed by the generosity of people who probably can't afford to give us money that continue to do so. So it's been an interesting few years for sure. And there's a lot of need out there. So we're so grateful for anybody that can support us. It means so much for so many kids.
Yeah, that's great to hear. And if somebody listening wants to help out, just go to CKNWKidsFund.com. You can, at the very least, pick up a Mega 50-50 draw ticket, and you can be part of the solution, part of helping out with the CKNW Kids Fund. So, Sarah, tell me some real examples of how the Kids Fund supports kids and families, and what do they do?
Well, so basically, there's so many different things that we support. So, you know, we support every type of therapy that you can imagine, speech therapy, vision therapy, occupational therapy. We support trauma counseling. We provide physiotherapy, respite care. I mean, basically what we try and do is that for families that really are just at the end of their tether and really just need some kind of support, we try and do it in a timely manner and, you know, make sure it's what the child needs at the right time. So again, you know, I'll give you a great example of, you know, how reactive we had to be during COVID was that, you know, at the beginning of COVID, there was so many children that we support that had no computer. They had no devices, right? So when COVID hit and the school shut down and they couldn't go and see their counselors, we provided, you know, different types of computers, phones, anything to keep them connected. And so, again, we've really had to pivot and look at what these children need at the time. So, again, we feel like we really do support families in different ways. And I think that is why we continue to get the support of the community.
Right. And I'll throw this out to both of you, Caitlin and Sarah. What if somebody listening is a family in need and they would like to get connected with the CKNW Kids Fund?
Yeah, Sarah, I'll take this one.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. If you go to CKNWKidsFund.com on the upper menu, you'll see a section that says applications, and you can download and complete it there. It has all the information that a family would need in order to do that. And then it goes through our granting process.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it sounds like a great thing to do. CKNWKidsFund.com. And before I let you guys go, I'll start with you, Sarah. Is there something that's happened lately that's really kind of reinforced your faith in the CKNW Kids Fund and sort of reminded you of why you love doing this job?
Yes. Well, you know, I often get phone calls from donors, and I had a phone call from a donor recently from a lovely lady who has been giving for over 40 years. And she called me to tell me that this year she wouldn't be able to give me her $50 annual contribution, but that she was able to make a $25 contribution. But she wanted to let me know and to not be disappointed when I saw that, you know, that her amount had gone down. And again, I was just so incredibly touched. This woman took the time to call me. She's been supporting us for so long. And that I really wanted her to know that the $25 means so much to us, and you know, we're so grateful. So it's moments like that, and I could give you many stories of, as I say, the families that we support and how it's changed their lives. But yeah, it's a very, very rewarding job.
Oh, that's very sweet. How about you, Caitlin?
Yeah, we in November have our Pledge Day, which is a 13.5-hour radiothon on CKNW. And like I mentioned, last year was my first year with the Kids Fund. And that day alone, speaking to the donors and hearing the family stories was enough to fuel my passion for this job for a whole year to get me to the next Pledge Day. Our donors are so wonderful. And just those conversations about why people choose to give to us and what our work means to them and how it may have impacted their family or someone they know, the work that the Kids Fund does is so important to so many people, and it's really wonderful knowing that we are making a difference.
Right. And finally, is there a need for volunteers?
We are always looking for volunteers. We have this year, for the first time in 4 years, we're having an in-person Pledge Day on November the 19th. So if anybody would be interested in volunteering to answer phones, that would be great. Yeah, we have a bunch of initiatives. So again, if anybody's interested in volunteering, they can just go to our website, or they can call us or email us, and we will add them to the list happily.
Sounds great. And that website is cknwkidsfund.com. You can get involved. And like you just heard, no amount is too small. No amount is also too big. If you want to donate some money, want to get a mega 50-50 draw, or you want to volunteer your time, which can be really, really great. So Sarah Dubois-Phillips and Caitlin Potter, I want to thank you very much for the great work you're doing. And thanks for taking the time to talk to us.
Thanks so much. Thanks so much.
And when we come back, we're going to talk to someone from Backpack Buddies, which is an amazing organization that does some great work. And we'll tell you about that and how that's involved in the CKNW Kids Fund when we return on Vancouver Consumer right after this.
This is a paid commercial program. Unless otherwise identified, the guests on the program are employees of the advertiser. The opinions expressed are those of the advertiser and do not necessarily reflect the views and policies of CKNW.
Welcome back. This is Vancouver Consumer. I'm Martin Strong. And the CKNW Kids Fund has partnered with Backpack Buddies and Sea Lovers Fish and Chips, and they are holding a mega 50-50 draw. You can go to the CKNWKidsFund.com website to get that ticket, or a whole bunch of tickets. Like, get a bunch of tickets as long as your arm, the Mega 50-50. And to talk about that and some really cool things that the Backpack Buddies are doing. Well, and if you don't know what that organization is, we'll tell you about it, because it's a pretty interesting group of people, and they're doing some amazing things. Emily Ann King is the executive director of Backpack Buddies, and Emily Ann is here. Hi, how are you?
Hi there, I'm well. How are you?
Excellent, excellent. Mm-hmm. So let's quickly talk about the 50-50 draw, the Mega 50-50 draw. How much are the tickets?
Yeah, so tickets are one for five, 20 for 20, 100 for 40, and 300 tickets for $100. Gives you pretty good odds.
Yeah, I like that. And it's not like the old days when you'd buy the tickets at the hockey game and then you'd buy like an arm's length of tickets because you're actually...
Yeah.
But you kind of are, and it's for such a good cause, the Backpack Buddies. And first of all, tell us what Backpack Buddies is.
So Backpack Buddies is designed to address the often hidden and crippling crisis of childhood hunger here in our beautiful province of British Columbia. So what we do is aim to ensure that children who rely on school meal programs Monday through Friday have what they need on Saturdays and Sundays so that they can come to school Monday morning ready to learn with full bellies and not already one step behind.
Yeah. And when I first heard about Backpack Buddies, it was a problem that I didn't know existed. And I think a lot of people don't even think about it. The idea that a kid gets to eat because they're going to school, but on a weekend or especially a long weekend, they may not have the food there to eat, which I think is hard to believe, I think. Would you agree for most British Columbians?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that the state of food insecurity in our province is pretty substantial and quite severe and impacting, you know, over 125,000 children are estimated to be living in food insecure households in our province right now. And so, you know, it is a massive issue. And I think people really aren't quite aware of the depth and the breadth of it here in BC. And so that's part of what we're trying to do with our organization is obviously not only fill these little bellies and make sure that kids are nourished, but also raise awareness for this really important cause.
Mm-hmm. And I guess the first thing people could do is buy a mega 50-50 ticket if you go to cknwkidsfund.com. But what are some other ways that people could get involved with Backpack Buddies?
Yeah, so our website's a great resource, backpackbuddies.ca, and there's lots of opportunities to get involved with us. You know, right now we're supporting, we have over 6,000 children on our program on a weekly basis all across our province. And so there's lots of opportunity to fundraise, to volunteer with us, and to get involved with the cause, whether that be locally in your town or, you know, with your company in our warehouse filling these bags of food that we're sending all across BC every week.
And how bad is the need? I mean, things are changing. The economy is changing. Interest rates and inflation are going up. And is food insecurity on the rise in the province?
I would say absolutely. You know, from my perspective, I've been doing this work now for almost 12 years. And I really truly believed when we were in COVID that would be the height of need for programs like ours. You know, children were not in school anymore because of the pandemic and they lost that access to those weekly school programs. So food insecurity rose. But at the same time, there was a tremendous amount of government support that was released to families that actually quite honestly curbed food insecurity for a period of time. And we saw a dip in food insecurity among children in particular because there was so much support. But now we're seeing that trend obviously change in the wrong direction. And when you add on things like inflation and cost of living, we're seeing more vulnerable families than ever before. And, you know, I can say from my experience with this work that we have never in the history of our program had a wait list of sites across the province that needed support. And currently we have over 40 sites in BC that have reached out to say, we have hungry kids and we need your help. And we just can't get there because our resources are stretched so thin. And that's really why, you know, one of the reasons that this 50-50 is so important to us and why we're so thrilled to be partnering with Kids Fund on this.
Yeah, and if you want to buy a 50-50 ticket, cknwkidsfund.com. How big is the jackpot and when is the draw?
Yeah, so the jackpot is currently just, it's $42,370. I just refreshed that, so I had it. I must say, it's kind of fun to watch the numbers creep up, and we've been enjoying that. But so the draw is actually in 5 days. So we'll be drawing the winner on May 9th, and then live on air with CKNW, we'll be announcing the winner in the morning, I believe, on May 10th.
Yeah, so we can get that much higher than the 42 grand if a lot of people
sure
buy
can.
Tickets. Yeah, so I guess you can go to backpackbuddies.ca as well to get a ticket, or cknwkidsfund.com. And if people, you know, go to backpackbuddies.ca and they see the amazing work you're doing, and they're seeing this problem that they may not have even known existed, what's some other ways could, you know, like, can people donate food, and could they just, obviously they could just donate money?
Yeah, definitely. So food, unfortunately, our program is quite, specific in what we're putting in these bags of food every weekend for kids, and so we don't typically accept food donations. That said, if you work for a company or a part of a company that produces child friendly kind of products that may be interested in donating that kind of item to us, we would be open to that kind of discussion. But really, most importantly and most impactful is it costs just $20 to feed a child for an entire weekend on our program. So that gives them enough meals to last the weekend and beyond, with fresh fruit and veggies and snacks. And so there's that lovely donate button in the top corner of our website. And that's a wonderful way to contribute. And, you know, that money goes right to work in our community, ensuring kiddos have full bellies.
Right. So do you literally send kids home with a backpack full of food?
So in the early days we did, but as the numbers grew, it became increasingly hard to sort of maintain that model. So what we now are using are sort of reusable cloth style bags, and they get distributed to over 360 sites in our province on a weekly basis. And the teachers and outreach workers and school administrators will tuck the bags into the students' bags when, say, they're into their backpacks when they're, you know, on the playground at recess, or, you know, not in the classroom, so that children, there's an element of kind of being discreet and ensuring that children aren't being singled out for being on the program. So they're sort of hidden away into the kids' backpacks, and they know when they leave on Friday that backpack's a little heavier because they've got some food to take home.
Oh, that's lovely. And that's something I was thinking about, because it would probably be very almost traumatic for a child to be singled out into, you want to sort of be anonymous about it.
Absolutely. Yeah. And that's paramount in our program. And, you know, with all, as I mentioned, sort of the 350 sites, it's really, it's up to the discretion of each of those locations on how best that they can administer the program to children, and ensuring that there is that element of discreetness, and that children don't have any reason to feel different than anyone else. And hopefully they just feel, you know, I have had a child once tell me that Backpack Buddies made them feel like someone cared about them. And I think that's a really beautiful thing. And that's the work that we're doing.
Wow. Yeah, that goes a long way. Because I was just talking to Sarah and Caitlin from the CKNW Kids Fund about little moments that they've had recently that have kind of kept them going in this kind of work. Mm-hmm. And what's something that's happened to you lately that's sort of reinforced your faith in what Backpack Buddies is doing?
Oh, on a daily basis, I'm motivated by the generosity of our community of donors and partners, that, you know, when days are difficult and we're facing challenges with expansion and all of those things, I'm always so inspired by the kindness and generosity of people in the community that really truly are looking out for one another and wanting to help. We actually got an envelope in the mail last week, and, you know, it's kind of jingling, and I'm thinking, oh, I wonder if, you know, it's quite clear there's maybe a little bit of change inside. And there was this very cute handwriting on the front that looked like a child had written it. And I opened it up, and sure enough, there was this letter from these two children. I didn't get the ages in the letter, but they said that their family decided to have a garage sale and donate all of the proceeds to Backpack Buddies. And, you know, that kind of thing, that's what community is all about. And we all should be looking out for one another in that way. And it just, I just find that so inspiring and motivating to keep doing this work.
Yeah, that's so beautiful. And it's exactly what Sarah and Caitlin said. It was,
oh, really? Yeah.
it was the generosity of the people, and they were examples of not big donations, but just little ones.
Exactly. Yeah, that's it.
And it's a beautiful thing. And I want to wish you luck, and I want to urge everybody to go to either cknwkidsfund.com or backpackbuddies.ca and buy a 50-50 draw ticket. It's the Mega 50-50 draw. And it's going to be a lot of money. And it's going to a great cause. And Emily Ann King, the executive director of Backpack Buddies, I just want to thank you for your time and also for your great work, and wish you good luck. I hope this Mega 50-50 draw is huge, and I'm sure the winner will be very happy.
Yeah, you bet. Thank you so much for the opportunity to share our message with your audience.
Oh, you're very welcome. Emily Ann King is the executive director of Backpack Buddies, just a wonderful organization doing some amazing things, helping kids who are living in food insecure homes. And sometimes these kids, they get fed at school, but when they're at home, there is not enough food. And that's where Backpack Buddies comes in. And Backpack Buddies, along with Sea Lovers Fish and Chips and the CKNW Kids Fund, have gotten together for this big Mega 50-50 draw. And you can get in on it at cknwkidsfund.com. This is Vancouver Consumer. I'm Martin Strong. And when we come back, Jimi Hendrix. A little picture Jimi Hendrix as a little kid going to elementary school in the West End of Vancouver. I've got that story when we come back right after this.
This is a paid commercial program. Unless otherwise identified, the guests on the program are employees of the advertiser. The opinions expressed are those of the advertiser and do not necessarily reflect the views and policies of CKNW.
Welcome back. I'm Martin Strong. Time for some Today in Vancouver History. It was May 4th, that's today, back in 1964, when City Council voted yes to something that would literally change the landscape of Vancouver. Not only would it bulldoze one of the city's most diverse neighborhoods, it would also create the Georgia and Dunsmuir viaducts in anticipation of a superhighway that would cut through downtown Vancouver, a superhighway that would never be built. And that's why those two viaducts now just seem to sit there on their own, like on-ramps to a highway that doesn't really exist. But building those viaducts meant the city would bulldoze an area of Vancouver known as Hogan's Alley. That was the area of Vancouver that ran approximately from Main Street east to Jackson Avenue between Union and Pryor, pretty much the border of where Chinatown starts. Since the beginning of Vancouver, Hogan's Alley was an incredibly diverse neighborhood. It has been referred to as the first and last neighborhood in Vancouver with a substantially concentrated black population. But it wasn't just black people. Hogan's Alley was also home to indigenous people, Italians, Chinese, Japanese, and Jewish people. Throughout the first half of the 20th century, Hogan's Alley also became known for its vibrant nightlife. It's believed the place was named for a black singer who was really popular named Harry Hogan, who was prominent in the 1920s. Another musical connection to Hogan's Alley is rock and roll legend Jimi Hendrix. Jimi's grandmother, Nora Hendrix, lived in the area of Hogan's Alley. She was born in Tennessee and toured North America as a dancer in a vaudeville troupe. She eventually married Ross Hendrix, and they married and settled in Vancouver back in 1911. Her youngest son, Al Hendrix, ended up moving south to Seattle, where he and his wife, Lucille, gave birth to James Hart Marshall Hendrix, better known as Jimi Hendrix. But Jimi Hendrix would come to Vancouver all the time. as a young kid. He even lived with his grandma occasionally. Records show that in 1949, a very little James Marshall Hendricks attended grade one classes at the Dawson Annex Elementary School in the West End. Jimi Hendricks going to school in the West End. Years later, after he left the U.S. Army in 1962, the first thing he did was to hitchhike 2,000 miles to Vancouver to stay with his grandmother for quite a while. At that time, he used to make extra cash sitting in with groups in the local Vancouver clubs. And 6 years later, when the Jimi Hendrix Experience had become huge and were playing a show here at the Pacific Coliseum in Vancouver, his grandma, Nora, was in the audience. And during that show, Jimmy gave a shout out to his grandma from the stage just before ripping into a version of Foxy Lady. So Hogan's Alley had a rich history and was a big part of the culture of Vancouver. But by the 1950s and early 60s, it had a reputation for crime. Part of that was earned. There were a lot of high-profile murders in the area, but part of that was due to racial attitudes at the time. When the decision was made to demolish Hogan's Alley, as well as parts of Chinatown and Strathcona, and build that highway right through it, there wasn't much of a public outcry. That plan was to start with the Georgia and Dunsmuir viaducts and then build that highway that would cut through the downtown core to the Lionsgate Bridge to the north and south to Highway 99. As a result, Hogan's Alley would be bulldozed and those two viaducts built. But the idea for the huge highway through downtown Vancouver was eventually scrapped. It would probably have made Vancouver a little like Seattle, you know, with that huge multi-lane highway that just seems to cut the city in half. But for Vancouver now, it just leaves the Georgia and Dunsmuir viaducts, these big on-ramps to a highway that doesn't exist. The plan to finally get rid of these two viaducts was fully approved by the city in 2018. The idea is to replace them with a road through the area, but also create more housing and public park space. But since then, there have been a lot of delays, thanks mainly to increased costs. So it will probably be quite a few years before we see anything coming down. But at least all the talk about the viaducts has included some mention of the history of that area and the history of one of early Vancouver's most diverse and culturally rich areas, Hogan's Alley. This is Vancouver Consumer. I'm Martin Strong. We'll be back next Saturday at 2 p.m. I want to thank our producer, Jonathan Chung, also Jeff Aldis this week. Stick around. The news on CKNW is next.
The preceding was a paid commercial program. Unless otherwise identified, the guests on the program are employees of the advertiser. The opinions expressed are those of the advertiser and do not necessarily reflect the views and policies of CKNW.
Canada may be known for its landscapes and friendly people, but beneath the surface lies a darker side of crime, history, and the paranormal. Since 2017, the award-winning Dark Poutine podcast has explored the shadowy corners of the Great White North and beyond, delivering chilling tales from a uniquely Canadian perspective. Hosted by Mike Brown and Matthew Stockton, with over 300 episodes and fresh releases every Monday, Dark Poutine is your weekly ticket to the creepier side of Canada. Listen to Dark Poutine on Apple, Spotify, Amazon Music, or wherever you get your podcasts.